You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, and I'm coming to you from Island Community Church. And I thank you for joining us here today, friends. Pull up a chair if you're driving. We're tuning into WGOD. God's got a word for you today, and that word's going to come out of the book of Hebrews. I have entitled this sermon, How's Your Diet? Now, I'm going to let this intro play today, Thursday, or tomorrow, Friday. If it's Friday, never fear, you're going to hear a new program that was the same introduction. I'm breaking this into two parts. It's called How's Your Diet? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, where the author of Hebrews says, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, or some translations say, to those who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, Greek word gymnos, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So my question to you is, how are you doing with discerning good from evil? Is this a muscle that you're using regularly? Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. So my question is, how is your diet, friend? Are you on milk or pablum or on solid food? What's going on at your church? This is the message today. As a matter of fact, from hearing this, I'm going to preach this sermon again here coming up in a week. But here it is. It's going to be on the radio now, Thursday and Friday. And I believe the following Sunday, I am going to preach this. So, but here it is now on the radio. This weekend, this Sunday, my sermon is The Parable of the Sower. So there, it's how's your soil? The following week, how's your diet? We'd love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. We're in Matthew chapter 13. How's your soil? There's four types of soils. The Lord Jesus said, out of four people that start off in the Christian faith, only one crossed that finish line in faith. That's my sermon Sunday morning. You are invited. We'd love to see you. I encourage you, start feasting on porterhouse steak. And get rid of the pablum, or get out of the church that is giving you a bottle with a nipple on it, and you're eating Gerbers. It's time to get on some solid food. Here's either part one or two of this message. We'd love to see you on Sunday. You don't know a heretic when you hear one. For instance, one of the devil's foot soldiers gets on the television and says, well, Jesus never said he was God. Let's practice this play, okay? It's in our handbook. Number one, objection. Jesus never said he was God. People get on the TV, they're PhDs, and they say, well, studies show now, we have so much knowledge more than they had back then, that we know that Jesus never said he was God, okay? You can turn to, please, John 8:58. And while you're turning there, let me read a verse to you from the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. When God told Moses, he wanted him to go and to deliver his people. Exodus 3:11, Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. This will be a token unto thee, for I have sent thee. When thou brought forth the people out of Egypt,
ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said to God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, Ego eimi ho on. I am who I am. And he says, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God said moreover to Moses, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. The name of Jehovah is I am. It's the verb to be. It's the self-eternal, self-existent everything is the name of God. So now, when you go to John chapter 8, remember, you're answering the question to someone who says on the television, well, Jesus never really said, I am God. When you go to John chapter 8, and Jesus says, verse 56, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, for he saw it, and he was glad. Then the Jews said to him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Then Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Did they misinterpret it? Let's keep reading. Then they took up stones to throw at him. Why'd they do that? Because he just called himself Jehovah. Oh, he maybe didn't say, Attention, I am God. But he said, I am. So Jesus did say he was God. And not just in one place. You see him on the handout, John 10:30. I and my Father are one. John 14:9. Those who have seen me have seen the Father. Here's one God gave me through R.C. Sproul this week. John 5:17. This is after Jesus healed the guy that was sick for 38 years, the paralytic by the side of the water. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. The man departed, told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now listen to what Jesus said. But Jesus answered him, My Father worketh until now, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And R.C. Sproul said this. He said that Jesus had the same right to work on the Sabbath as his Father did. I like that. The Lord Jesus had the same right as God to work on the Sabbath as the Father had the same right to work on the Sabbath because he's God and he does what he pleases. He can work on the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus said, so can I. And they understood correctly why they didn't believe it. Making himself equal with God. Let me give you one more here. Hebrews. No, I don't have time for this. It's 11:30. I got to move on. Hebrews 1:6. You can read in your studies here. In Hebrews 1:6, God the Father calls Jesus God. Let me read quickly just that verse. Or let all the angels of God worship him. Of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, capital H, God speaking, to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. It's Hebrews 1:5 through 8. God the Father calls Jesus the God. Hebrews 1:5. File that one away. This is the kind of stuff that has Jehovah's Witnesses running for the exits and putting a big circle around your house and warning people that you're part of that 1% that knows the truth, and they won't come back to your house again. They'll warn everyone you're infected with the truth. Number two, Jesus is not the only way. Where do you go? Okay, so number one, you've got it on there. You know where to go. You know where to go when someone says, well, Jesus never said he was God. That's John 8:58. Before Abraham was, I am. John 10:30. I and my Father are one. John 14:9. If you've seen me, you've seen Jehovah. Hebrews 1:6. Your throne, O God, the Father speaking, to somebody else, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And John 5:17 and 18. My Father keeps working until now, and so do I. Number two, Jesus is not the only way. Answer, John 14:6. I am the way. What do you do with that? Simple, isn't it? Then why do so many people on television say that Jesus isn't the only way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's Jesus Christ is the only way. Paul said, through whom we have access by grace, by faith, into this grace in which we now stand. You got a ticket from Jesus that says, admit one for you on it. The book of Revelation, he says he's going to give you a white stone with a name written on it that nobody knows except him. And it's going to say, admit one. Who changed gavels on me? Number three, there is no hell. Certainly that's what Satan wants you to believe. So it's no biggie if his peeps spread lies like that. Where to go to defend that? Revelation 14:9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself will drink of the wine of the wrath of God poured out undiluted into the cup of his indignation. He will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. Whoever worships the beast and his image and whoever takes the mark. Hear me here. There is no repentance for taking the mark of the beast. You can't do what Peter did and say, I'm sorry. There's no repentance for taking the mark. There's no repentance for taking the mark. And really, here's the answer to that question. When someone says to you, well, I don't believe in hell because I don't believe a loving God would ever send a person to a place called hell. Well, hell was created for the devil and his angels. If you end up in hell, it's because you sent yourself there. If you end up in hell, it's because you refuse to let God love you. And you hate him for it. The accusation against all of you and everyone in this world is God loves you. That's the charge against you. You can either hate him for it or embrace him. God's accusation against all of you is I love you. I love you. What do you do with that? Embrace it, right? Why is it when a criminal says, I love you, you embrace them? Well, maybe they weren't a bad person after all. But God says, I love you, and you string them up on a cross. I love you. Revelation 20:10. The devil who deceives them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. They'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Lord Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day, you brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Again, Jesus said, I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he is killed has got the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. He talked much more about hell than he did about heaven. Hell's a real place, and God has offered to settle out of court with all of you. The charge against you is God loves you. This next one is perhaps the biggest sticking point faces the church today. The biggest threat to your pastor going to prison or forcibly being removed from this church is number four. Homosexuality is an accepted lifestyle today. Now, where do you go in the New Testament to defend that? Because we can't be hypocrites. You can't use the old. You can't use the Old Testament in this church to defend dietary laws. So you can't use the Old Testament to defend or fight against this. You got to use the new, right? I'd be a hypocrite. Well, you can't go back to the Old Testament to talk about not eating pork or shellfish. Because we're living in a new covenant, right? The letter kills, the spirit gives life, ministry of condemnation. So we got to use the New Testament to do that, and rest assured, no problem. Because that is the same no matter when you live. 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? All right, so where do you go when you hear that? When your neighbor says that? When your friend says that to you? Well, I believe people are born that way, and there's nothing wrong with being a gay Christian. 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know? First he says, do not be deceived. Or in other words, don't kid yourself. Or don't believe what that person told you. Do you not know the unrighteous won't inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that's sexual relations outside of marriage. Now we've just included a lot more people. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. All right, wait a minute. He said it twice. Why did he do that? Do you hear that? Homosexuals or sodomites. Why is it listed twice? I'll tell you. Because both partners are condemned in the Word of God. The first one, arseno koite. Arsen means man. Koite means bed. The other word, Greek word is the word malakos. It means soft. Like a felt velvet jacket that a king would wear. And it was a slang word for a passive homosexual. Not only is it condemned, both partners are condemned. So don't let anyone get on your TV and say, because that's signing your death warrant, friend, for you to believe the man on TV that says there's nothing wrong with that. 1 Timothy 1:8, we know the law is good if you use it lawfully, realizing the fact the law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for killers of fathers, killers of mothers, murderers, immoral, homosexuals, kidnappers, liars, and perjurers. Imagine saying that today. Do you hear this list? Listen to this order. You got the profane, killers, murderers, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and homosexuals. Not even Donald Trump would say that. You know what would happen to you if you read this in public? You would be an outcast for all eternity. That's what the Bible says. You've got to decide who you're going to side with. Then the rest of that verse, I read that out of the New American Standard. The rest of the verse says, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. And of course, Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. That is an abomination. I'll tell you something, that verse in Timothy is enough to cause half the church of Jesus Christ to fall away from the faith. Do you believe and support and endorse the Word of God? What's happened here, church? How can this even be up for discussion, this topic? Romans 1:26 and 27, it's on the handout. I don't have time for that. Men with men doing what is shameful. Women and women. Number five, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I know a man who used to go to this church. This man, upon comparing himself to another man in this church, a much, much older man, said to me one day, he says, what so-and-so needs is he needs to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This, he said, because the older gentleman didn't respond in worship the way that he thought that he should have responded. So I thought it out, and I believe I said to this man, if memory serves me correctly, I said to him, you've been married 2 or 3 times. You've been in jail. You drink alcohol freely. And this man over here has been married to the same woman for 50 years. He's been faithful to his wife, faithful to his Lord, faithful to his Savior. He's got the power inside of him to live a godly life. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. And he's full of integrity. At least he was while he was alive. But you pity him because he doesn't have what you have. You know what? I hope what you have isn't contagious. Because I don't want it. I don't want what you have. I want what the other guy had. That's what I want. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then walk like that man. Walk like him. And then I'll believe you, you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Walk like that man. Live a holy, righteous life when no one's looking in the dark. Yeah, you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all right. That's how you measure a man or a woman that's got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by living a life of integrity. All right, that's my rave. What does the Word of God say about it? Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one spirit we have all been baptized into one body. I don't want you to take my word for something, but take God's word for everything. One more, Colossians 2:10. You are complete in him. You lack nothing. There is no super Christian. The question is, how much of you does God have? That's why you see a difference in Christians. Some are on fire, some don't give a rip. It's how much of you does God have? You're not a super Christian. You're the same as everyone else. You don't have to get up here and shout during praise and worship. He doesn't have something you don't have. I measure that, God measures it by your integrity. What you do in the dark. Here's one I got from Theodore Epp the other morning doing my Bible studies. 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And you and I are partakers of the divine nature. We've got it all as Christians. Every one of us who has been baptized has received the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9. By one Spirit, we have all been baptized into one body. Believe the Word of God. Number 6, evolution. The accusation, all this is by chance. Where do you go to defend this? Okay, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I should have brought my cell phone with me. I think I'm going to get caught up on the news now. That's the end. I watched this thing. It was 6 hours long, this debate between the science guy and the Ken Ham. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Who do you believe? It's a question of faith and trust. Believe God at his word. God said God is fully responsible and accountable for defending himself. God said he made everything. It's up to your choice to decide. I would just encourage you as your pastor to side with God. Don't stick a thumb in his eye and call him a liar. That's not good to your health. That's worse than swimming in a banana river. You want more verses? Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament proclaims his handiwork. How about this one? I know this is one of Ron's favorites. That is Job chapter 38. God says this, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Then God says this, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Speak up if you know. Where were you, Smedley? Where were you when I made all this? If you weren't here, then you're best to keep your yap shut. In humble praise of Almighty God, who says that he made everything. New York Times comment, this guy wrote in the New York Times, he says, belief in the virgin birth is evidence that conservative Christians are less intellectual. Florida Today said, if you believe everything that I just read to you, if you believe in creationism, his exact word, this will harm you in life, and that you won't get as far to those that believe in evolution. Let me explain that again. If you believe that God created all this, that is going to harm you in your life, and you won't get as far as the atheists get. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to get farther than you, friend. Much farther. I'm going to reach higher than you. Because I believe God, and I trust in his word. And I am going to reach all the way to heaven because of him. And belief and trust in his word. This morning, I just put on Facebook this verse. And I was thinking, if there was one verse or one word I could change in the Bible, it would be this. I would love to change the word Enoch to Paul, that is Esposito. It says, by faith, Enoch, let's change it. Let's change the word this morning. By faith, Paul Esposito was translated so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Boy, would I love to do that. But I can't. Let me please him anyway. Lord God, we praise you.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. Thank you.